Good morning, Crossroads. So, wow, that sounds really loud, but I'll let you work with it. Good. Okay. You're awesome. Thanks, James. I don't know what kind of morning you've had. What kind of morning is good? Who's had a good morning so far? Put your hand up. Okay. Okay. Good. Thanks. Good. Who's had a tough morning so far? Tough morning? Okay, I'm with you. So, it must be Sunday, right? Because things happen. And I am amazed that we pull this together every week and have for 20 years. And the microcosm of that, I don't know if you saw it while it was happening. You're the man. So, Taylor's back here playing the drums, and He dropped out during it as well with my soul. Did you see why? Because he's fixing the hi-hat. He's fixing the hi-hat and did not miss a beat, came in literally on beat. Well done. Good job, buddy. And that's how it is, you know. Life can do what life does, and we just take that in stride if we can when we are rooted, when it is well with our soul because of the grace of God that is ours, and that's a good thing. So welcome to Crossroads this morning. I'm glad you're here. We are in the middle of a series, actually week three. Ray spoke last week about overcoming barriers for caring for our neighbors, and I think that was good stuff. Thanks for doing that, Ray. Appreciate that. And we are into, as I say, week three. So I begin with this question. What kind of people are we? What kind of people are we? Are we lions, otters, or golden retrievers, or beavers, as one strengths profile puts it? Are we extroverts or introverts? Are we sensors or intuitives, thinkers or feelers, judgers or perceivers, as the Myers-Briggs puts it? Are we, let's see how up to date we are on popular fiction. Are we abnegation or amity or candor or dauntless or erudite? Or are we divergent? As Veronica Roth puts it in her fictional dystopia trilogy, adding a fourth book, because that's what you do with a trilogy, you add a fourth so you can sell some more, named Divergent. Here's a fun couple of facts for you. There are, just take a wild guess as to how many personality tests you might think exist in North America alone. I'll tell you that it's more than 100. Just take a wild guess where you are. How many personality tests? 3,000? Couple million. That's just a throwaway, Dave. Take this seriously, man. Oh, you were. Okay. Not a million. 3,000 is actually really close. Around 2,500 different personality tests in the market in the United States alone. The Myers-Briggs is amongst the most popular, used by government, military agencies around the world, and roughly 89 of 100 of the Fortune 100 companies. But my favorite personality test might be the one I used this past weekend that I didn't even know existed, actually. I called it the "What Disney Character Are You Most Like?" personality test. Little did I know that Q Feast, which is a social network, has actually created an online survey intended for just this purpose that compares you to 16 different Disney characters that are the most popular. So, we warmed up with the adults comparing themselves to memorable Disney characters. So I was comparing myself to, and Jackie was, and our friends Andy and Barb were. We self-assessed. Then we asked our spouses. Let me ask you, who do you think my beautiful wife Jackie compared me to? Disney character, free shot. I've already endured one this morning, so go. What? Goofy, yep. What? Who? Donkey from Shrek. That's not even a Disney film. Anybody else? What? What? The genie. Thank you. Genie, I like that. Blue the bear. Oh, bear. Yeah. Okay. Any others? Yeah. Mufasa. You're grounded. Okay. I don't even know how to ground them anymore. It's too old for that stuff. So what my wife actually said, and it's true, she's right here, you can ask, the Disney character that she thought I was most like, Prince Charming. I know. That was such a good answer. Then we as adults, in a semi-masochistic moment, open up the question to our children at dinner time that night. My friend, who is an intelligent, very easygoing, playful Frenchman, Andy, was described by one of his children or someone at the table as being like Lumiere, okay, the French candelabra in The Beauty and the Beast, and described by another one of his children as being like Pumbaa, the young warthog in The Lion King. If you knew him, you'd agree that you could see both of these things at work in him for sure. Then it was our turn. My son, Josh, compared his mother, Jackie, to the mother in Finding Nemo. So if you think about that, she doesn't make a single appearance in the movie. Not even there. But there's a hint of her existence because, and this is why Josh described his mother this way, she gave her life for her boy Fish Nemo, right? I know. She gets that. So guess what I get? Hold on. My daughter, Kaylee, compared me to Buzz Lightyear in Toy Story. For reasons that seemed obvious enough that the comparison needed no explanation. We had a great time laughing and sharing over our Thanksgiving meal together. I wonder who you might see yourself as. So I'm going to give you a second, and here's the question that you're going to ask. What Disney character are you most like? Turn to the person near to you. If they know you well, let them take a guess. If they don't know you, you tell them what Disney character you think you're more like. And if you want to supply a reason or a rationale behind that, you go ahead. But I'm going to give you a minute to do that. Just answer the question the best you can. What Disney character are you most like? Give that as little or as much thought as you want over lunch. Talk about that fun exercise. Chances are we are a mixture of Buzz Lightyears and Pumbaas and Lumieres and Prince Charming. Chances are that we are a mixture of extroverts and introverts, sensors and intuitives, thinkers, feelers, judgers, and perceivers. Chances are that we are a mixture of lions and otters and golden retrievers and beavers. But depending on who you are, you might not even know where to begin to be a good neighbor. Not even know where to start. In one of my three small group experiences during week one of the series, I had two different conversations with two different people who might actually represent some of what we might be feeling around this topic of engaging our neighbors intentionally, thoughtfully, in the name of Jesus Christ. One person, an introvert by her own description, said to me, I can't name any of my neighbors. And the thought of having to name eight of them is, it's not going to happen. Not going to happen. So I said to her, well, why don't you begin with one then? She thought about that for a second and replied, I guess going from zero to one is sort of like a 100% improvement, right? She's a little bit competitive too, by the way. I said, yeah, for sure. One, just one, right? The other person, an extrovert by anyone else's description of her, said to me, I know most of my neighbors, actually, and I'm actually feeling a bit overwhelmed by my sense to care for all of them. So I said to her, care for those who you can, when you can, with what you can. You can't give what you don't got. That includes time. We, as a leadership, are asking you and our church to be intentional about loving our neighbors. And by neighbors, I mean actually the ones living next door to you at this time in your life. Although, in our small group experience we talked about, and even 2 Sundays ago, our neighbors, anyone who is in need, right? And to listen to what God is up to, and just to respond to what you think he's asking you to do. To take hold of opportunities to care for others when he creates those opportunities for you. To not make yourself so busy that you miss that still small voice saying, just do that. Take some time. And to intentionally, otherwise, create chances to love your neighbors. I'm sure she went, oh, is that all? Yeah, no problem. I'm not sure that really helped that person at that time, but that's the call of this series. The point is this. Jesus didn't say, love your neighbor if you're like Buzz Lightyear or Pumbaa or Prince Charming. Jesus didn't say, love your neighbors if you are an extroverted, intuitive, feeler and perceiver. Jesus didn't say, love your neighbor if you are most like a playful little otter. Jesus said, love your neighbor. I would only add this because then it becomes a source of guilt. I'm not loving him because I'm love your neighbor with you in your own personality, right? But no matter who you are or who you're like, loving your neighbors can be challenging because they are a mixture of personality types, maybe very different from your own. I'm going to ask Chad if he'd set up our video for this morning, and I'm going to ask you to spot any differences you might see between these neighbors in this video. Do we have that available, Chad? Awesome. Thanks, bro.
People are very busy. And because we no longer work in the same place that we live, we travel, much of our lives are in this some other spot that doesn't have this collective nature of community, we're less reliant on individual contact at the door, next door, in town, etc.
We pull into our driveways and the garage door closes and you go into your house, you come out and drive away. It's very easy to not think about them, you know, to think about your home, my work, the other things I have to do, and to forget that there's someone with a real life, with a real story right next door on the other side of the fence.
Hi, we're Todd and Carla Tillipa, and we moved into this neighborhood 6.5 years ago, not knowing what God would have for us here, but he has brought some wonderful folks into our lives, especially our neighbor Chris and her family.
My name is Chris, and I have been a longtime foster parent, and I've adopted 7 kids out of the foster system.
We were thought the Clampets had moved in. Just lots of stuff is left out all over, and it trickles around the neighborhood. In the summertime, there's stuff everywhere, and not only in their house, but on our house and our yard. So we joke about that with Chris and her family. Man, the Clampets need to clean up their front yard.
You know, it's just managed chaos, I think, is the best way to look at that. And some things get dropped to the wayside.
It's not like we've gotten past it and everything's fine now. There's still a struggle. There's still stuff when I get home from work and there's stuff in our front yard, we're like, ah! But, you know, that's part of it. It's remaining in the mess and remaining in the relationship, even though there's some frustrations and things like that.
And I think to look beyond that, the outward appearance, and go, okay, what's going on there that is a lot deeper? And knowing that in the midst of all that mess, Chris and their family is investing in the lives of kids that nobody else wanted. And so can we join her in that? Can we join her in investing in those kids?
My neighborhood has really, really, really embraced my family. You know, you've heard that saying, it takes a village. It really does take a village to raise kids and be in a household this size. I know they got my back. I know that they do. And they do it because they want to help.
And I'll tell you the other thing that is tempting at times is to look at them like a project.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to teach them how to clean up mm-hmm. and take care of their yard and clean their house mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And so it's been, that's a temptation, but it's a part of us that we've kind of discovered to go, you know, it's not about them being a project. Mm-hmm. It's about just loving them where they're at in the midst of that.
And then being the receivers of that too, you know, because it's not just us loving on them. Man, Chris has loved on our family in incredible ways, has loved our kids, has ministered to our kids, to us personally, in really wonderful ways. I mean, our neighborhood has become our missional community, and that's who we do life with, is our neighbors.
All right, so there's the Tilapas, and there's Chris Roth. Sorry about that audio there. We did everything we could back there to clean it up while it was happening. And Chris Rowe, I don't know if you caught it, but she's a single mom, foster parent of 7 kids. And there's the, there's stuff everywhere, personality types, compared to the managed chaos personality type. There's the folks who seem to have it all together. And then there's the single mom who seems to be out of control. It's such a good clip for the points it makes. So let me take a little time to highlight a few of them. The first is this. Stay in the mess, okay? So stay in the mess is my encouragement to you. Some neighbors are going to be easier than other neighbors to care for, to love. They're just easy people to get along with, or you have similar personalities or similar interests, or they're good to you, for instance. And others might not be so easy to love. I live in a strata. There are 18 units. Most of my neighbors actually know how to do garbage, when to put it out, what kinds of bags to use, and when to recollect their empty pails. And then there are some who do not know how to do garbage. And one who doesn't label his stuff, so we can't know who it is, so we can't even talk about the issue, puts a black garbage bag out every once in a while. So only he and our Lord knows what is in the bag. It doesn't get collected by waste management, nor is it put back in the owner's garage. It has had to be removed days later by another neighbor who's just plain old sick and tired looking at it. And it got so bad recently that the bag turned a yellow spot on the grass where on the boulevard it was sitting, and the seagulls had started picking at it, and there was garbage scraps all over the lane. Ugh! There was stuff everywhere. Spot my personality. It's amazing what a pastor can tell himself in situations like this. Things like, who does stuff like that? What kind of adult drives by his uncollected garbage bags? What kind of adult does that? When I find out who's done that, I'm gonna... Then I hear the still small voice of Jesus say, love your neighbor. Or I hear the still small joking sarcastic voice of my wife say, that's my husband, the pastor to the community. Which leads me to some different self-talk, things like maybe they really don't know any better. They haven't read the rules or the bylaws or weren't made aware, or maybe he's away, like he's a long-distance trucker, because we actually have 3 of those on our lane, and he doesn't actually drive by his uncollected garbage because he's just not there. Maybe there's something going on in his life right now that's so difficult, so challenging, so hurtful, like he's going through a divorce, maybe, which is the case, I think, that this garbage thing is so far off the radar, it doesn't really matter. Or maybe he's just not easy to love. Whatever the case, I don't need to jump to prejudicial conclusions around my neighbors and start to guess and attribute this problem to all 18 of them, which is the worst, right? Because you don't know who it is, so you go, they're all bad. They're all bad. All of 18. Well, that would be me. So 17, they're all bad. I can give people the benefit of the doubt, right? And I can try to get behind the story. So that leads me to my second point. Get behind the story. Who knows what's going on in our neighborhoods? Who knows? The stories behind those things in our neighborhoods that bug us. Who knows if those stories might be ones that we can move into, help the other in need, our neighbor? Well, the answer is obvious. We can know the stories when we take the time to listen to them and to get to know our neighbors, just as the Tilapas have their neighbor Chris, who then joined Chris in caring for those kids who Chris and the Tilapas described as nobody caring for otherwise. This is, as Chris described, no, as Mrs. Tilapas described, I didn't get her name, this is missional living, doing life with our neighbors, motivated by and in the name of Jesus Christ. The third point that I'd highlight is this: be ready to receive. When we as a church cleaned up and painted and installed new carpet and new gutters and new lighting at the Greendale Market, Todd of Lori and Todd fame, who actually run the place, said to me, well, firstly, thanks so much for helping out, but secondly, and just as quickly, please let us know how we might be able to help you out sometime. People don't want to be projects. There's no dignity in that, and it's just simply not true, because at one time or two or more, we are all in need of help. Mutuality, then, mutual giving and receiving, is honest, and it is what good neighbors do. And more, good neighbors love people where they're at and receive that same kind of love when it comes their way, as is the case with the Tilipas and Chris. They have mutually blessed each other. Okay, good stuff, but where do we start? How do we begin to love our neighbors? Two quick answers that you could sort of jog in your memory. How do we love our neighbors? Intuitively and intentionally. By intuitively, I mean this. Responding to what we think God might be calling us to do at a given time. What Jesus would do if he were here. What we can do by the power of his Spirit living in us as believers. Like, for instance, bringing someone else's garbage pails down the lane to their place, even though they should have done it themselves within the 24-hour period as defined in the bylaws. Like not yelling at our neighbors to turn that music down or calling the police on them for violating a noise curfew, but going over and calmly and graciously asking them to turn it down because you're having a family barbecue and you can barely hear your mother-in-law. And wait a second. No, that's good. Like getting out of the car and instead of going into the house, going down the lane to join several neighbors who are out talking in the sun, which when I did this led me to meet our newest neighbor who I found out is going to be married this summer by a pastor friend of mine in the area, which when I did this led to this really cool conversation around having a block party on the lane, which when I did this led to all of us, I'm not even making this up, it's too funny to make up. We're around 12 of us now gathered on the lane, and as people were coming home at the end of the day, we cheered them onto the lane by name. Welcome home, Bonnie, way to go, Grant, woo! They're like, wow, we need to move, honey. This is creepy and weird. Like, these are steps that any of us, small steps, can take. Who knows what God might do with them? You know, I'm going to go here. There's a story in the Bible of a little boy who gave up what little he had. It was getting late. Thousands of people had hung around all day just to hear Jesus teach. They needed to eat, but they were miles away from anywhere where they might get food. Jesus turned to his disciples and said, can you get us some grub? One of his disciples, Andrew, who is Peter's brother, found a boy with 5 small loaves of barley and 2 small fish. But how far is that going to go for thousands and thousands of people? As far as God took it, right? Small steps led to big miracle. Jesus prayed over the food, then he broke up the kids' lunch, and he handed it out to the disciples, and they fed more than 5,000. We know the story. Here's the point. Let's just do what we can at any given time and leave the rest to God. Let's take small steps and see where God leads us. I don't know what bringing down that garbage pail through the lane will lead to, but I trust it's what God asked me to do. I don't know what politely asking my neighbor to turn down his music will do or lead to. I don't know what our spontaneous mid-lane gathering will lead to. I just know that God probably isn't saying, just pull right on into your garage and ignore those image-bearing loved ones of mine to your right and left who I died for. I know that Jesus would probably just bring the garbage pail down the lane. And I know that the Holy Spirit of God would help me not go all Pompeii on my noisy neighbor. By intentionally, I mean prayerfully, thoughtfully creating opportunities and participating in others to get to know our neighbors by name, to get to know who they are, and to care for them how we might. to move, as we have been picturing, from stranger, not knowing their names at all, to acquaintances, knowing a little bit about them, to relationship. Like cooking a meal for a neighbor or dropping off some baking, especially if you like doing these things anyway. Like playing sports or watching sports together. Hockey on the lane or basketball, and letting your neighbors know that the hoop is available to their children as well. Or asking your neighbors to join you for a round of golf or some pickup ice hockey or a game of tennis. Or inviting them, as we're going to challenge you to do at the end of November, to join you at your place for a great cup party. Like, and I'm going to give you two examples now that are going to lead to interviews of people in our community of faith here who are creating opportunities where we might join them. Like screwing a purple light bulb into your outdoor light fixture in support of Domestic Violence Awareness Month, which is this month. That can create conversation with a neighbor. And I know it has, actually, for those of you, some of you screwed it in already, have told me, people have asked me what that's about. So I'm going to ask my wife to come up if she were at this time, and she'll explain a little bit about what that is, because we are partnering with CCS to bring awareness to this issue. So, Jackie, can you tell us a little bit, a little bit about Purple Light Nights, what's coming up at the end of the month, and maybe a summary of the sheet and the purpose of.
Okay, so in your bulletin, there is a little sheet that explains this a little bit further. And I know we spoke about it a couple weeks ago, so it's just a reminder, we're halfway through the month, and just wanted to give you an opportunity again to pick up some light bulbs. The church has purchased these, and they're out in the court there, or foyer, and you're welcome to take one on the way out if you'd like. The idea behind this is that we as a community are saying that domestic violence has no place in our community. And having had an opportunity to work with a group at Chilliwack Community Services called Specialized Victims Assistance Program, I've become way more aware of how prevalent this is and how much our city has to deal with domestic violence, how much of it there is in our city. And part of the problem is sometimes we don't know how to talk about it. And so putting a purple light bulb out where others can see will at least start the conversation. And it'll tell them that this is your stand and this is something that you believe very strongly about, is that there really is no place for this in our city. And it opens up dialogue and communication, and that starts to build momentum. In fact, this year, as you're walking down the streets and in other spots, you'll see a lot more of the purple lights than we saw in the years before. This has been going since 2009, and Chilliwack was one of the first cities in Canada to start this. The initiative started in Washington and came up our way, and Chilliwack embraced that. We've just come through the weekend, or we're working our way through the weekend. It's hard for us to know or even imagine what some men, women, and little ones have gone through this weekend. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we hear about it, sometimes we don't. But just know that it's an opportunity for us to partner with our city, with the people that are working on the front lines. And it's also a way to honor those who have even lost their lives through domestic violence. Yeah. And that's what this is all about. So if you'd like to get a purple bulb, and this is a way, again, to start conversations in our community, they're right out on the table as you're heading out. Please feel free to take one.
So, Jack, before you go, if we have one and we get one, what are we going to say to folks if they should ask us, hey, what's with the purple bulb?
Well, and that's where this comes into play. In fact, there's an opportunity that's coming up, which is a forum at the end of this initiative, which is on October 30th, 7:30 at City Hall. And Angus Reid from the BC Lions is going to be coming and speaking. The CFL has really embraced this as well. If you've been to any of the games, you'll see this, and you'll have people come
don't
up on the...
Don't be a bystander,
Don't be more than a bystander, is their slogan. And so Angus Reid will be talking about practical ways that we can combat this. We can talk about it. When we see something happen that we think, wow, that's not healthy, that's not good, how do we speak into it? And he's going to be there to talk a bit about more about that. Take this flyer home with you. There's some really good information on there. If someone asks you what that's about, tell them about the initiative. Tell them that Chilliwack needs to be a city that stands up and says there's no room for this in our neighborhoods, and we need to be aware of it, and we need to talk about it, and we need to work towards solutions for it. And even though it's promoted by a group called VOWR, which is Violence Against Women and in Relationships, we recognize that it's not just women that it is men and it is seniors and it is little ones. And so this is what this is all about.
Thanks so much, buddy. Here you go. I'll keep that handy because I'll be asking, well, Jocelyn can come up even as I'm talking about her. Jocelyn Decker, if you wouldn't mind, we mentioned you earlier when we talked about the clothing swap and what we'll do with any extras today, but another opportunity to be engaged. And if you know our church at all, you know that we're always looking to partner with folks in our city who are engaged in making our city better and better in the name of Jesus particularly. Yeah, that's our part for sure. We bring that motivation and that spirit to it, and that certainly is the case for this young lady here. So we're back to a new school year. We started late, and Jocelyn and I had wondered when would be a good time to talk to you again, remind you of the Family of Schools community cupboard that exists out of Chilliwack Middle School. So that's why she's up here, and maybe you can tell us a little bit about that, or remind us of what it is and its hope and its goals.
Okay, so the Family of Schools community cupboard is a cupboard or a room that we have located at Chilliwack Middle School that we have open hours, and people, families in need, can come there and shop for free. We're providing them with a kit of food if they want and need it, and we're providing them with clothing for all different ranges and sizes, and it's completely free. It's run by volunteers. There's no requirement. We're hoping that we're connecting with people, with children. That's our main goal. That's it.
And not just at Chilliwack Middle School, but in that community of schools, in that
yes,
area.
Yes, absolutely.
Right yep. on. I know there's no requirement, but you do monitor it so that it isn't abused, I think?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
This year, we've actually been asking people just to produce like a child tax benefit statement. We're not copying that. We're not keeping it or anything like that. But just to produce that, just so that they can, we have some sort of valid identification that they do have kids. There was maybe a little bit of abuse last year with the program. That's okay though. It's a growing pain and we're working that out.
I was going to say that. It may be worth reminding you that this initiative is in its infancy. It's coming off the back of another very similar initiative. And anything that's just starting, there's bugs to work out. I'm just so glad that you and your peers there didn't wait and go, I don't know if we can do this. You got to start sometime, right? And they did. Our question for you this morning is, how can we help? We're going to let you take some clothes here, but I think food's as important or more important, perhaps.
Yeah, we are definitely looking for donations of food again.
Okay.
We have changed up what we're doing, and we're just making kits of certain food items. So okay. I will forward that list on to you.
Okay.
But we definitely need food. And then we also need volunteers. I'm there twice a month on Thursday afternoons. But the more volunteers that we can come and actually connect with the people, that's the next stage that we need to move to.
That's a great neighboring opportunity, actually.
Absolutely. Yep. And connecting with the people. If we end up having enough interest and people that can volunteer on a regular basis, we can open up at a second time.
Okay.
And in that time frame, we can dictate when that time frame is. So if you're interested and the 2 to 4 o'clocks on Thursdays don't work, but a Tuesday from, you know, four to six
yeah, or something like
is
that.
Is going to work for mm-hmm. you or whatever, feel free and we'll start generating a list and working off of that.
As so. I think I said last year when we talked about this initially, wouldn't it be kind of cool if Chilliwack Middle School and its surrounding family of schools were able to say, hey, isn't that church? Isn't it the church? I don't even care if our name's attached to it. I would like the name of Christ attached to it. Isn't it the church that supplies most of the food and the clothing? And hey, do you go to church? And do you go? So this isn't me trying to stimulate or generate what I want the Spirit to encourage in you. It is to say, if you think this is something you can give 2 hours every other week to or some time to, awesome. I am going to get the list from you of the foods. We will put that in. What we'll do, as we've done always, is give you a 2-week lead time. We'll put it in the bulletin for 2 weeks, the list, so you can be looking for it. I will email it again to you as a reminder. So if you're not on our email group list, please contact me. I got to tell you, we've had some updates to our stuff, so we've lost some email addresses. If you currently aren't receiving our email as a church body, it's because I don't have it on my group or I've lost it. It's not because I don't like you. Okay, let's be clear on that. So please, if you want to be in that mailing, let me know. Anything else, buddy? No, you're awesome. Thanks, brother. That's sister. We're so interesting bro these days. I don't know why that is. Okay. It's a buddy thing. Yeah, thanks, Josh. That's awesome. Oh, last thing. Okay, so we had those examples of intentional things. Here's one any one of us can do, really simple to do. And in fact, if you we're working through certain materials on neighboring. If you go to theartofneighboring.com, which is a website, you'll find a downloadable party kit, which helps you organize. If you're an organizer, it's like a dream come true, right? Yes, for sure. I will do that. Thank you. No problem. Block parties. That's where I was going. Block parties. They're a natural place for neighbors to meet and to get to know each other because they are literally right in your back or your front yard or on the lane, right? Block parties create chances for neighbors to connect for the first time or to reconnect and to get to know each other better. Block parties are opportunities to do something that's positive and fun with our neighbors instead of what can sometimes be the only contact, which is something negative over an issue around what's going on in the neighborhood. And by the way, Jesus loves parties. He loves parties. He joined all kinds of people at Levi's house when Levi became an apostle. He joined all kinds of people for a house party at Zacchaeus' place when he came to faith. He performed his first miracle at a wedding party, thank you. And when he comes back again, what's he going to do? He's going to throw a party. Huge party. The party that begins an everlasting party, and it'll be him getting married to us. The wedding party of all wedding parties. These two, like these things, intentionally, I'm mentioning they're small steps any of us can take. And again, who knows what God might do with them. So your homework, if you want to call it that. Well, it is, because I'm sending you home to do this in your neighborhoods. Take a small step this week to move from stranger to acquaintance or from acquaintance to relationship with at least one neighbor, right? Secondly, partner with someone in your neighborhood to throw a block party. In fact, again, that might be a great cup party. If you're not a footballer or if you are an NFL football viewer, okay, that's my ad for the CFL. Woo! Okay, down Saskatchewan. Sorry, Doug. Go BC. If we make the playoffs even. Okay. Throw a party, please. Get to know your neighbors. Hey, you know what? Sometimes our neighbors who are in need are like way far away. And some of them are in France. And you may not know this, but we have four young men in our congregation this morning. If you pull out your bulletin, you will see in there a picture of them. And I'm going to ask them to come forward at this time. And while they're coming forward, I find it very encouraging to come forward with applause. So if you would give it up for Jonathan, Nick, Will, and Shane. Now, in a moment, I'm going to ask those who would be willing and able to come forward to lay hands on our brothers in Christ and pray for them. They are heading out in 2 weeks to France, but I won't say any more because Nick is the team leader. Grab the mic, Nick, and we'll go. I'll let you introduce your team. These boys are currently at MB Mission in Abbotsford, where they've been since September, doing some cultural training, some evangelism pieces. But tell me more about what you got. Well, introduce the team first.
Okay.
If you would. Thanks, Nick.
This is Shane. He's our American. And then we have Will and Jonathan.
Who are Canadian.
Yeah, they're Canadian. Okay. Will's an Albertan, so.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, we're part of a 10-month discipleship in mission training program through MB Mission called TREK. And yeah, in 2 weeks we finish our training and then we'll be in Paris for 7.5 months.
Wow.
Where we will be living in a predominantly Muslim neighborhood. Mm. And the goal with that is to work alongside the missionaries that are there and share the gospel with Muslims.
Awesome. Wow. You may not realize the connect here. Nick has grown up in this church. He is the child of Kim and Dave Sheely, and I think they're semi-proud of that. Okay, we're good with that. See, they're smiling. That's good, right? Apparently, only half the team was required to grow a beard, so that's good, right? I think we can all agree, any good team always has an American on it, so thanks, Shane. Cool answer to prayer. Shane, maybe you can tell that little story, maybe a minute, what's happened to you and how we can pray for you. We're going to ask how we can pray for the team in a minute. So can you give the mic to Shane for a second?
Okay. You're still on.
Okay. Here we go.
Well, thanks, John. To apply for a French visa, these guys all got to go to Vancouver, and I had to fly all the way to Chicago. And
when did you do that, Shane?
That was Thursday.
Yes.
And the meeting was Friday, and I wasn't aware that they take your passport to apply for a visa. So I was kind of stuck in Chicago for a while. And
anyone who lives in Chicago is stuck in Chicago.
That's
I mean, have you seen the winters there? They're ridiculous.
Yeah. But that was something we didn't plan on, and it was kind of a big mess. And they were trying to figure out what to do. But I was able to get back in Canada with just a birth certificate, so that was pretty awesome. But,
awesome. Thanks, Jim. Yeah. Awesome. Because we're friendly like that as Canadians, aren't we? Yeah, just come on in. Passport negotiable. How can we pray for you? What should we be mindful of, Nick?
As far as we're aware, our visa applications are approved. So... we'll
amen.
Find, yeah.
Praise
so
God.
That's a bonus.
Mm-hmm.
As a team, we're still $4,000 shy of our budget needs.
Okay.
But yeah, more than that, we hadn't met before September, and we're going to be living together for 8 months. So.
Oh, okay.
There may be some.
Do you see that being a problem, Will?
Not at all. But nonetheless, there are still things that there are still things that happen when you're on assignment. There's still going to be gelling pains, I guess.
Yeah,
you might call it
gelling pains. I think I had those in grade 7. They're terrible.
But yeah. The biggest thing that we're kind of asking for prayer for is just that. Like, the four of us really can't do anything in Paris aside from God's work in France.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you guys could partner with us in prayer for that, that would be phenomenal.
When I spoke to Nick on Friday, that was his key ask of us. It wasn't even financial support. It was, we won't do anything of any substance if we don't have people praying for us. So... being one of our kids growing up here, inviting his friends to come here, we're going to pray for them here, but I want you to put this somewhere very prominently for the next 8 months so that you can be mindful to pray for these guys by name and encourage them by knowing that you are praying. Can we make a commitment to that? Put your hand up if you can commit to that. I love it. Let's do this, all right? Anything else you want to add? Did you want to say anything, Jonathan? You haven't had the mic yet. Did you want to say anything?
I'm okay.
He's okay. He's the shy, silent, quiet member. It's good. Last thing, last word to you, brother.
Oh my!
So I got it right this time, anyway.
Yeah, we'll be in the foyer after the service.
Yeah, should you want? Go ahead.
Yeah, we've got we have slightly higher quality prayer cards.
What?
So, yeah, if you want one that might stand the test of time a little bit longer, we have those.
Okay.
Yeah, and if you have any questions, we can all answer any questions you have.
And I know if you're feeling led this morning, right, to support financially, apart from the prayers, I don't think they'll turn that down. They'd be glad to talk to you to support the team or individuals apart from them. Just chat with them afterwards. And if out of this service you say, oh, you know what, I can't let that go. I want to support. Would you please contact me, and we'll make that happen. Okay? Excellent. I'm going to ask Tony if he come forward with his team at this time to be behind us as we close out the service, if there's nothing else. But I'm also going to ask everyone else to stand with me, please, if you would. And a handful of people to come forward and lay hands on these guys in prayer. And if you don't know their names, I'll tell you who they are so you can know. We can get maybe one person standing behind each person. Who are our prayer warrior people types? Or who like to pray, period. Who like to intercede for the brothers. Stand behind Jonathan, good. To have a CBC prof behind a CBC student, right here with William. Who's got William? Bearded Wonder to Bearded Wonder. Love it. Stand Man. Wow, that's like Dean of Students prayer. That's big. K- okay? And Shane right here, the American. Remember, the American. Yeah. Pray. Actually, two people pray for the American. Okay. I think the mic, is it handy right there? I think it's right there. Yep. And if you would just pray where you are for these guys as well. Whenever you guys are ready to pray, please do. And Tony, you can just go from there, okay? Thanks, Doug.
Lord, what a blessing it is to know that these four guys are going to go out and their heart's desire is to simply serve you and to let you work in their lives and through their lives as they go on this adventure. They know where they're going. They ultimately really don't know what they're getting into at this point, but Lord, you know, and they're trusting you, and so we look forward to what you're going to do in their midst as they just interact with the people in the community where they're going to live, as they go to the markets, as they go to the subway stations, as they just share life together. Pray for the church planting team that is already working in France and that these guys will be joining. I pray that you give them wisdom, and I pray that their gelling pains would not be too painful and that it would go well. We just give you thanks, Lord.
Father, I pray for Nick, and as he provides leadership to this team, give him the wisdom to step in when he needs to step in, and also the wisdom to back off and to empower his team to serve. Thank you that he is that you have equipped this team over these last few months to go. Pray for the community that they'll enter into, and I pray that they would recognize what you're doing in there, and that they would in France, and that they would join them and join God in what is happening, and not get in the way. So, Father, thank you for Nick, and give him the courage to step out in new ways. I pray these things in your name.
Father, I want to pray for Shane as well as the whole team, Lord. Lord, I just want to thank you that you are right now preparing the soil, that you've already gone before them, that you are laying the foundation, and these guys are just going to go in and continue on with the work that you've started. I pray, Lord, that you would bless each of them as they have their own strengths, their own talents, that you would use those strengths and talents to benefit the team as a whole, to benefit the missionaries that are already in place, that they would be an encouragement and a blessing to the people they're going to be helping, to the people they're going to be meeting. I pray, Lord, for your protection, Lord, that they're going into a predominantly Muslim community. I pray, Lord, that you would give them that the wisdom, the sense to know when they can move forward and when they need to take a step back. I pray, Lord, that your spirit would be ever so present with them, that they would clearly hear your voice, that they would clearly understand your direction, and that ultimately, Lord, in all of this, that you would be glorified.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for the blessing that they are. Thank you that we've gotten to know them. Mm-hmm. And I pray, Lord, that you would just bless them immensely mm-hmm. as they follow your direction, your leading, and as they continue to listen to you. And ask it all in your precious name, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, guys. Thanks. God bless you guys.